The church in our diocese that's probably closest to us geographically in Winston-Salem or Clemens is called Church of the Good Shepherd. So that's a statement to their community. It's a witness of who the Lord is. He is a good shepherd. The psalm that we began with, it's one of Matt's favorites. Be assured that the Lord, He is God. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In John, in chapter 10, Jesus is explaining what it means that He is a good shepherd. And one of the things He says, my sheep hear my voice. And there's a lot of places in Scripture that refer to this good shepherd, but I want you to hear it from his Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's no more precious personal place that we could go in the Scripture to understand that the Lord is my shepherd for those who take refuge in Him. Ezekiel 34 is another place. It begins with the Lord rebuking those shepherds who were not doing what He had called them to, who were not caring for the sheep, who were not feeding His sheep. He said, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains, on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. So this is the Lord's rebuke. Looking for the weak, strengthening them, the sick being healed, going after those who have strayed. And then He explains what He's going to do in verse 11. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them. Bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture shall they feed on the mountains of Israel and lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And this is our Lord's promise. And then in the New Testament, many places, John 10 is a key place to look to understand this good shepherd. But in the other Gospels, there's this language of the shepherd and the sheep, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now that's a marvel. When we see crowds, we tend to kind of dehumanize them. You know, we can drive through town and say, oh, this is just a lot of traffic. These people are kind of in my way. Or we go to a restaurant and then there's a long line. Oh, it's crowded. We don't really see the people because we're thinking about our objective. He saw that they were in need of a shepherd. That's his heart. And that's a key thing of understanding about his heart, is that he came to lay down his life for those sheep. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he had come that they might have life and his sheep might have it abundantly. At home, she can't have any food today. And she was reflecting this morning about two of our kids who came from Ukraine. They were in orphanages where they didn't have a lot of food. They were pretty undernourished for many years. And she was just in tears because she was thinking about the fact that, okay, I can't have food for the next, 24, 36 hours. And just that's going to be uncomfortable, but I know there's food in the pantry. I know we'll have it later. But just what was it like for Slavik and for Miriam day after day, not to know if there's going to be food? And she was just, this compassion was start for them in a way that hadn't been there before because she hadn't felt it. That's the heart of a shepherd. He saw and he had compassion, not in some distant way, but he came among us and he was moved with love for the sheep who needed life. Another place in Luke 12, all these are such, I'm going to use that term, precious places in scripture. But in Luke 12, Jesus is talking to the people. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, your body. It's more than clothing. Consider the ravens. The Lord feeds them. And then after he explains these things, or the lilies of the field, nothing in all of creation is clothed as extravagantly as them. There's fields that no human eye will see where flowers are blooming today. And that beauty is not seen by any eye except our Lord. And he said, and you are far more valuable than the lilies of the field, the ravens. And then he says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So of course, food's going to be there. Clothes are going to be there. Little flock, fear not. Your Father personally knows you and loves you. It's his good pleasure. All these heaped up phrases to help us understand this is his heart. He wants to give you the kingdom. So just a few pictures of the good shepherd. He leads his sheep to food, to water. He protects with his rod and his staff. He seeks the lost. He strengthens the weak. He gives restoration, not just sleep. That'd be one thing. That's nice when we're tired, but he gives restoration so that we can go out and follow our shepherd, be with him. And then the passage that Bethany read for us from Revelation 7 is a place where we see in verse 12, this same language of shepherd, but we also see the language of lamb and throne. Verse 17 says this, for the lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now that is quite a mixed metaphor. The lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. Or maybe it's layers of metaphor because John, there's so many things, but let's just that phrase, the lamb. Now, John, the apostle who's writing the book of Revelation, he had been a disciple of John the Baptist, and he was with John the Baptist when Jesus came and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the sacrifice who gave himself on behalf of us that we might have life. He gave his life. He is a lamb and he's in the midst of the throne. Church of the Good Shepherd, they're making a statement about who God is. Our church is named Christ the King. That's a statement who the Lord is. It's a declaration. He's in the midst of the throne. The throne of God is the throne of the Lamb who was slain. So he is the King, the one who rules with all authority, with all power, with all honor. The Lamb in the midst of the throne is their shepherd, their caregiver, the one who protects, the one who provides. So which is it? Lamb? Yes, yes. It is all of these. This is our God. The Lamb who sacrificed himself for us is the King who is our personal caregiving shepherd. It's an amazing picture that we see here. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. This is our God, our good shepherd. And then just two verses prior to that, We read that he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. If there's a storm, children seek out their parents' bedroom. And they do that not because their parents' bedroom is built any better. It's not like they've got a storm door. They're thinking about the structure. It's because their parents are in there. They're seeking the shelter of presence. I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, we went to the Outer Banks and we had a pop-up camper, which is kind of a cross between a camper and a tent. It's anyway, we were in this and a pretty big storm came up. My mom, my dad, my sister, myself. And about 2 in the morning or so, that's always when things happen, 2 in the morning. This storm got so bad, my dad decided we can't stay in this little quasi camper tent structure. We need to get to someplace safer. And at the campground, they had a laundry building, a laundry facility. And so grabbed my sleeping bag and pillow. We all went in there. And within 2 or 3 minutes, I was out. I was asleep. And it wasn't because my sleeping bag was that comfortable. We were on a concrete floor in a concrete cinder block building, but I was with my parents. I was sheltered in that presence. Psalm 23 says, even in the presence of our enemies, he prepares a table for us. He can feed us. Our shepherd is present with us. And something that is we need to get about what it means that God is, that Jesus is the good shepherd. Sometimes when we think about faith, we look forward to being with God, to being with him in heaven someday, but salvation isn't just about getting heaven someday, but it is getting God now. That's what we have. We have the good shepherd now. And his presence is fullness of joy, is protection, is everything else that we need. And I believe this good shepherd is something that we need to understand. Scripture makes it clear, it unpacks, it gives illustration, but it's also something that we need to sense very deeply. In other words, we need to be careful not to separate our head from our heart as we read these passages about the Good Shepherd. It's Mother's Day. You could go to the dictionary or an online search and find out what is a mother. You could get a definition. You could get categories of biology and relationship, and that would tell you what a mother is. But that's entirely different from the sense we have of a mother's embrace, or when she looks at you and her countenance is lifted up, or a handwritten note in her script. Those are different things that you're not going to find in a dictionary. And so for us, we need to understand this. The Lord is my shepherd. Keep our head and our heart closely connected so that we have this great comfort, because the followers of Jesus are those who hear his voice. So they know that he is good, but not just in a general sense. They know that he is good to us. He is good to me. And sheep will listen to what he has said. I've grown to love scripture and realizing that I've got to read scripture as daily bread. I read it for joy in God. Can talk more and more about the importance of scripture, reading it, memorizing it, but chiefly because it is his voice. We hear it in what he has said. I use a one-year Bible kind of reading program. And yesterday I was in John 6. I've read through John 6 many, many times. But there was something that had me on the edge of my seat. And it's one page back. Jesus is telling the people, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. And they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What a great question. And I was, what do we do? And then he said, Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. There it is. This is the work of God. And you hear his voice in his word. And it, even though you may be returning to familiar passages, he enlightens, he gives new insight, even things that, that's right, I knew that. But this is the work of God, to believe in the one whom he has sent. Thanks be to God. Our former pastor has written a book called Unveiling the Cross of Christ. I read that, but as I read it, the narrator's voice in my head was Ross, our former pastor, because I know him. So it's as I was reading it, it was his voice in my head. And so similarly, the sheep of the good shepherd get to know his voice and they read his word, not as an intellectual academic exercise, but they're hearing his voice. They're doing it to know him. The sheep hear his voice and the sheep also follow him. They follow him into his presence. They are sheltered there, but they also get sent out to do the work that he does. Inevitably, time with the good shepherd is going to change you, and you're going to develop a heart like his, one that sees not crowds, but sees individuals and has compassion on them. A.W. Tozer, he said that fellowship with God leads straight to obedience and good works. That is the divine order. It moves us in compassion to those same people that his heart is moved by, the weak, the lost, those who have gone astray. But it's important to realize that doing follows being with him. He doesn't send anyone out before he first draws them to himself. Otherwise, we will get burnt out trying to serve the needs if we've not first heard his voice, come into his presence, and had green pasture and still waters and restoration for our souls. So sheep hear his voice, sheep follow, and sheep are not anxious. Not sheep of this shepherd, because they know that they're cared for. They know his heart, that it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so this morning, if this is maybe a bit foreign to you, if you're someone who doesn't really have a relationship with this good shepherd, but you like what you're hearing, you're intrigued by it, I would encourage you to take the Gospel of John, read that, and as you read it, ask God to help you hear his voice. See if you don't, through his word, get to know that good shepherd yourself and follow him to find food, water, life, and restoration for your soul. And for those who are followers of Christ, if you are ever feeling hollowed out or stressed, then listen to his voice and follow him. Because even in a desert, he can feed his sheep. He's that kind of a shepherd. Even in a desert, he can bring water. Even in the wilderness, if he is present, you will find restoration for your souls. So, O God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may follow him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.